Brilliant from Kennedy. Couldn't resist the shot. That's gone in off the defender.
The chairman, you lose your little player. And it's in. It's a goal from Gilmour. Jimmy Gilmour has scored for Falkirk.
Finnegan's cross. Stephen Thompson. Falkirk have the lead after a quarter of an hour.
McKenzie slips. It goes straight to McGuffey. McGuffey shoots from his own half. And that is incredible.
He's taking them all on here. Catch him if you can. You can't. That is amazing. That is phenomenal. A touch of individual inspiration from Kevin McAllister.
This is Falkirk Daft
with Haldane Construction Services.
Hello and welcome to Falkirk Daft once again, and it's another big game and another disappointment. But hey, we're still top of the league and the Bairns remain unbeaten. Are we happy though? We'll get to that over the course of this podcast. I'm your host, John McAnally, and in the absence of the ginger god of pod, I've knocked off the Wish version and brought him instead. It's Lewis Connolly, everyone.
Nice to be back, mate. Good to see you.
Yeah, if DH Gate did Ross Wayne, you would be it.
Do you know what? I get accused of being Ross now.
On Do you really?
It's happened a few times. I don't know what I've done wrong in life, yep. But it seems to be a thing now.
I know, it's just because you've got your ginger and got glasses. I mean, it's easily confused.
Good looking boy, what can I say?
Well, he is currently tanning himself in Tenerife. He keeps sending pictures on his Twitter and whatever of him sitting by the pool. So when we were sitting, getting soaked yesterday at the stadium, there he is, sitting with Falkirk TV on, by the poolside, having a great time.
Right. So, in the shade for fear of his life, I would add.
This is
he
very
actually
true.
Goes in the sun like me, he'll burn in about 10 seconds.
Absolutely, very, very true. Did you have a good day yesterday, Lewis?
Yeah, it was decent. We were in the pub beforehand. Good to catch up with the guys.
What time were you in the pub from? Because this is the thing about the 5:30 kickoff now. It's like, when do you go to the pub? Do you go at your normal time of 12:30, 1, or do you hold off to kind of 3-ish?
I think it was about 1:45, but 1:45 for me.
1:45, it's not bad. So I was about back of 3, and I decided to go to Behind the Wall. I mixed it up yesterday. So went up to Behind the Wall for a few pints there. And thanks to everyone who I bumped into yesterday at the game, who said they listened to the podcast, they really, really enjoy it. And everyone who asked me, how are you feeling after Kelty? And then to my embarrassment, a few people said, I was speaking to you, John. And I was like, where are you now?
Landon.
Yes, I was indeed. But yeah, listen, it was great to speak to a load of folk and listen to Falkirk Bain, Falkirk Daft, including Andy from. Now, Lewis, have you heard of the band? Palermo. It's Palermo. Have you heard of the Palermo?
Yes, because I think the. Is it the drummer is a Bairns fan?
Yes, indeed, Andy. I was speaking to him yesterday. Now, Andy wears different Falkirk tops.
Aye,
every
yeah.
time they're playing. I think the rest are from up north. But the Andy plays for them. They're doing so well at the moment. Check them out on Spotify if you can, Palermo. They're playing the Garage on the 21st of December. He was telling me, and they're hoping to do the Barrowlands next year as well. So get along with Falkirk Bairn, love your music, check them out on Spotify, Palermo, they're really good. I was actually totally coincidental. My brother put them on to me about 6 months ago and stuff, and I listened to them, they're really, really good. And then I realised yesterday, I was like, oh yeah, I've listened to your band, you're fucking great. And then my brother said, was standing next to me, said, yeah, put you on to them. I'm like, oh, so you did. So yeah, 21st of the December at the Garage. Falkirk Daft night out. I think we might have that actually. A wee Falkirk Daft night out. Wee trip to the Garage to see the boys.
That's the weekend of Annan away as well, isn't it?
I probably won't make Annan, so that's a great wee Friday night at the Garage. So I'm up for that. I'm up for that. So let's do that. Anything been happening in your life, Lewis?
Nothing too exciting, mate. Counting down to the Scotland trip.
And yeah, you're off to Spain to see Scotland.
I'm also off to get burnt in the sun, eh?
Don't think we're going to do it on Thursday evening. Potentially might qualify on Sunday evening, however, with the result of the Norway-Spain game, hopefully.
Yeah, it's nice to have the backup option. A point will do it realistically on Thursday. But you know what? We said we would never beat France. and we end up, you know, winning in Paris. So yeah, it's unlikely, but never say never.
I hope we don't get pumped. But listen, it's a good, great way away trip away to Spain. Where are they playing the game, Lewis? Is it
the game's in Seville, John.
It's in Seville, yeah, I thought it was. That'll be cracking, really, really good.
I think there's a couple of hundred Celtic fans still trying to find their way back.
And Rangers fans as well, they were over the other week there, weren't they?
That's right.
Yeah, right, okay, got to say, first of all, thanks to our boys, Haldane Construction, sponsors of Falkirk Daft. Like you say, I say every week, you'll see their name right around the stadium now, on the south stand as well. Sorry, the north stand. They've been in the community for over a decade now. They are delivering construction and building projects over the Central Belt. In fact, they've been there for two decades. Care homes, extensions, been on their socials actually. And if you want to get on their socials, do that, because they're putting up some pictures of some of the work they've been doing. Just finished a job out there, I think it was in Dunblane. It looks absolutely cracking. So just type in Haldane Construction, Twitter, LinkedIn, Insta or Facebook. You can drop them an email, haldaneconstruction.co.uk, or check out the website, haldaneconstruction.co.uk. Peter has been in touch with us. He's the main man. He says they're going to be announcing their employee of the month for September next week, so we'll give you who that was. And yeah, if you can check out the socials, that would be fantastic, because like I say, you'll see pictures of all their current projects. And if you are looking to do something in your house, extension, speak to Haldane. They'll get you sorted, take a collaborative approach to design, budget and management of projects, and they'll have a really strong line of communication with you throughout the course of it to make sure you're satisfied. So speak to Peter and the guys over there at Haldane Construction. Lewis, did you manage along to the AGM on Thursday night?
No, I normally go every single year. I was meeting a mate on Thursday night, so I was only going to make it along for about an hour. So I'd been at the office in Edinburgh, and I thought, you know what, for the sake of an hour, I'll not bother. I saw the update on the back of it, and I spoke to a few friends who were there. It seems to have been the quietest AGM in years. Normally,
yeah,
the day after any AGM, or even the night off the AGM, within an hour or two, historically, you get politics on all sides, as always with any club, and you'll get some people saying they like this bit, but they're not happy with this bit, and you know, people coming on and arguing the toss and disagreeing. But actually, it just seems to have been like radio silence until the club put out, fair play to them, put out a wee update sort of day or so later.
Yeah, I don't think there's been much ruckus about it, to be honest with you. Just running through the highlights, which were put out by the club, saying the club improved its financial position in the season 22-23, but still recorded an operating loss. It remains a significant challenge to run a full-time team in League One, and another operating loss is expected this season. I mean, this is all stuff that we knew already. Yeah. Good progress has been made off the pitch with improvements across infrastructure, commercial, support services, youth development, communications and operations. Still a long way to go to reach Scottish Premiership, re-establish the academy and build the football and operational infrastructure need to make the club sustainable. Now, as a widely fan-owned club, give us a much broader set of shoulders upon which to build the funding required to compete against the clubs owned by wealthy individuals. Actually, on that list, do you know if we're over the 25% now, because I know that was, you know, it was about to happen, but I don't know if the shares have been transferred or what have you.
Well, there was a lot of talk of it, and I believe there was talk with certain parties who were almost going to donate some shares to the FSS to give them that extra kind of crucial 1%.
But I think
does it not, correct me if I'm wrong, when I read it the other day, does it not say something like, apologies, it wasn't the club statement, it was the latest FSS email to its members. I think it said like 24.7%.
Yeah.
The
promise of the 25.1% is there though, and hopefully we'll get an announcement when those shares have been transferred over and the FSS are in that position. It goes on to say... We're still well short of our annual funding goal of $400,000 required to reach the Premiership and fully re-establish the academy for the 150th anniversary season. God, that's not far away, 26-27. Good progress also being made on the pitch. We've obviously seen that. with a strong first team squad and talented apprentices, plus positive developments in football culture and infrastructure. However, the pace of progress will be determined by our football budget, and uncertainty around the funding could hamper our ability to plan properly, possibility of becoming part-time. This is the bit, and again, this is no surprise to anyone, the possibility of becoming a part-time club in League One. Makes it difficult to commit new contracts for current players who wish to recruit next season. I guess that's why it's vital to get into the FSS and supply a budget, because we've seen what's happened to clubs. For example, our friends over at Airdrie, from a full-time club.
Of course. And I think that's it. You're spot on. I mean, we've all mainly signed up to it. I think there's some out there who respectfully... maybe not everyone can afford extra pennies, especially with the way of the world at the moment. But again, just to encourage anyone who can maybe afford even tenner a month, just go for it if you can. It will make a difference. I think you're right, John. The worry is, this year we've broke even, almost broke even. But that's including, there must have been money from the Killers concerts. Because I remember at a previous AGM they said there was something like a 75 grand deposit for Little Mix. Was it Little Mix, the Killers, and whoever the third band were?
Was it Rod or Elton John? I can't remember.
No, it was after that. I'd need to go back and check, but they said that two of them, after COVID, weren't going to tour again, so it was just going to be the Killers. So I know that money came in previously, but we must have had some money for the Killers concert this year. And of course, that... looking at it again, that Kai Kennedy deflected shot against Air United was a godsend. Because, and I'm kind of guessing here, but I would imagine the club must have made somewhere between 250, maybe closer to 300,000 from, the fact that it was pooled gate receipts for Hampden. So between the concerts and the cup run, you must be talking north of 300K that in a normal year you wouldn't have. My worry now is, what happens for next year?
Yeah. That's why getting involved with the FSS is really important. They're saying all new funds committed from December 23rd to May 24th will be made available for the transfer window as well to enhance promotion to the championships, and funds available from June 24th onwards will be baked into the football budget for next season. If you want a full detail on that, that's just the kind of the highlights that the club have put out. I believe if you're a shareholder, you can get a full detail on the breakdown of the accounts and stuff like that. But that was what Keith delivered at the AGM, and like Lewis said, it seemed to go off. Nothing surprising in there. There was and you tend to find, Lewis, when the team are doing well on the pitch, it's a different
That's
AGM.
Exactly it. Yep.
A different AGM. So, we will see how that goes. And like you say, it's reading. You just read it, and we all know it's do or die this season. And we've known that from game one of this.
Yeah, it's pretty much win or bust, John. You're right. And I think on a personal level, the only question I would have asked when I saw that kind of statement, we were very lucky that we had the cup run in that. And I say lucky in terms of you can't guarantee that year after year after year. Especially not when the reality is you're now a League One team. But what I would like to have seen was it was all percentages. So like the commercial guys, they've done a great job, for example, and it said, we've increased turnover overall, but is it something like 114% in the statement?
Yeah, two games doing a fantastic job. The full commercial team, Paddy, in two games doing a great job.
In general, the whole turnover of the club, it said it's gone up by... something 114%. But the comparison year for Devils at 2021, like 2020, 2021, which were COVID seasons. So I'd like to see a comparison with how finances are now compared to a 2019 figure, so that we have a better idea of where we are. But yeah, I think ultimately you're right. You're spot on. We all know it really is win or bust this season. The threat of part-time, let's just say it's a worry, right? It really is. I've grown up my whole life following the team as a full-time team. The next generation might only be supporting our team, with all due respect to other teams that are part-time, on a part-time basis. I don't think a club the size of Falkirk, with the fan base that Falkirk had, deserves a part-time team. So, you know, just to reiterate again, if folk can sign up, please do.
Yeah, absolutely. Just to mention again for Fortress Brockful night, Lewis, you're coming along, aren't you?
Yeah, I think I'll land back about an hour before the kickoff from Georgia. So I'm hoping to come straight from the airport, but we'll see.
Yeah, 17th of November, it's happening at the Inshira. Sam McGivern, Tiger McLaughlin, Davey Nichols and Crunchy are going to be there. Me and Ross are going to be hosting that, having a bit of chat with them. All the profits go into the Falkirk Academy, which we've just mentioned. They're hoping to get properly up and running for the 150th anniversary. We're going to be, obviously, loads of great memories of Brockville, some amazing stories, I hope, as well. And tickets can be purchased right now. Purchased right now. £35 ahead. Head to falkirkfc.co.uk. You can make your booking there. Or for larger groupings, get in touch with the team, marketing at falkirkfc.co.uk. You can reserve your spaces. And it should be, like I say, a cracking night at the Inshira. Few beers, few good stories, and hopefully not getting battered off of Davey Nichols.
Just mind your P's and Q's, you'll be all right.
Absolutely, be minding my P's and Q's around Davey. Obviously, went unbeaten. We're still unbeaten. Part of the season's done. Two-third season tickets are now on sale as well. If you want to jump on board, they went on sale just after the game yesterday. So if you haven't got a season ticket, you know, and Team R doing, like we said, so well, we'll get to the game in a minute. But yeah, get involved with that now. And congratulations to Cal Morrison, September's Player of the Month. I think he was probably due it. Lewis, I don't know who else was kind of, you know, I'll always say Tam Lang, but you know, that's because I fancy him.
To be fair though, John, remember you do have that poster off him on your wall, you know.
Everybody does, doesn't he?
Obviously. But I think Cal was pretty consistent. He's made the difference in a few games. So, I think that one's fair enough, yeah.
And absolutely robbed of the SPFL goal of the month. Can I just add, Kyogo got it in front of Callum Morrison. And see, in actual fairness, the boy scored for Queen's Park. What a goal that was as well.
I think both of them are better than the Kyogo goal.
Absolutely. They're 100% they are. It would have been a tight decision between those two. I actually think the Queen's Park guy, just because he did a wee bit more before hitting it, probably deserved it. But aye. Typical Old Firm mentality, and Keogh got goal of the month, and Callum was very unlucky to lose out on that. Shout out before we get into the game to the Falkirk women. Beat Giffnock 8-1 today. That's 9-0 against Stuart in last week, and 8-1 today. Iona Bridges getting two of them. Kirsty Gilbert, Vicky Wood, Ava Rule, Taylor Johnson, Ella Stewart, and Christine Taylor getting the goals as well. So another amazing win for the girls.
Yeah, they were so unlucky last season. You know, that they're progressing every single month that goes by. And I really hope that, you know, they can go one better than last year.
Yeah, well, it's fingers crossed. They're doing really, really well. So get along to the games. Happens down Sunday afternoon, normal about 2 o'clock at the stadium. So keep your eyes out on their social. Follow the Falkirk Women's Twitter handle. And we will obviously post and keep you informed on our Twitter and socials as well. So keep your eyes out for the Falkirk Women going great guns. And that's, God almighty, 17 goals in 2 games. Amazing. Right, okay, let's get into yesterday's game. However, I think there's a bit to discuss on this. Every week on Falkirk That Hour, we just don't want to just hear from me and Lewis, so we get a guest pundit on. And this week, he's my hero. I'll get into that and tell you why in a minute. It's Mr. Callum Hunter.
How you doing, guys? All right?
I'm doing fine. Now, I'll have to explain why Callum is my hero. He got Falkirk Daft rated a couple of weeks ago in the podcast. Now, if one or two of you have asked me at the game yesterday, how do you enjoy Kelty, John? I enjoyed it very much. However, I wouldn't have enjoyed it half as much if I hadn't been for Callum, because I was a little bit squiffy if one or two people hadn't noticed or checked out our socials. And I was wondering about, I wasn't doing anything wrong. I was just wondering about looking for my pals at halftime. And then two rock steadies pincered moved me and were threatening to throw me out until my hero, Callum Hunter, stepped in and said, "It's all right. He's with me. I'll get him sorted out with a coffee. He's on the bus with me. Don't worry. He's all good." And he absolutely saved the day, and I didn't get thrown out as a result. I wasn't doing anything wrong, was I, Callum?
No. It's actually good to actually have a conversation when you can apply back to me for a change. So it's good. You were brand new. I think the Shears were just on a mission to chuck somebody out. So I think that Terrison was reeking of alcohol. We were all steaming, we were all drunk. So I think you were just in the wrong place at the wrong time.
I think the most surprising bit, Callum, is the fact that John's trying to imply that he's actually got other mates in us. No, weekend, that's not true.
Thank you, Callum, my hero, absolute hero. Listen, Callum, we ask everyone that comes on as a guest pundit, first and foremost, what's your kind of first Falkirk memory? How did you start supporting the team?
Maybe back to the early 2000s, my dad took me along to Brockport to watch Falkirk, and I was hooked for the minute. I started going. I think my first season was the year we were meant to get relegated, but we were saved because of Airdrie. So the following year was more of a memorable year for me, and obviously it was the last season at Brockville. My first full season being a Falkirk supporter. You think of the players that played that season, still talk about to this day, that team, the spine of that team, even the players we had, that front three, Coyle, Sammy, Lee Miller. It was just absolute frightening, and I've been hooked ever since, home and away every week.
I still think to this day that's probably been my favourite season as a Falkirk supporter. That team for me is probably just the football we played that season, the goals we scored, and like you say, Callum, that, you know, when you had Owen Coyle, Colin Samuel, and Lee Miller, you know, young Lee Miller, Sammy playing unbelievable, and the experience on Coyle was unbelievable. What a season that was!
No, it was a great team to watch. Absolutely fantastic team to watch.
Aye, absolutely. What's your favourite? Who's your favourite Falkirk player of all time? Then you're not allowed to pick any of the Holy Trinity.
Well, running the Kevin McAllister bus is obviously my favourite, but can't really pick that one as you mentioned. So I'm going to go Mark Kerr.
Aye.
I think, as I say, starting out, I remember Mark Kerr being a young boy breaking into the team, kind of followed his career, and then he came back laterally under the Houston seasons, and he came back as a more experienced player. And I think we kind of boosted on when he came back. I think we were kind of lacking a bit of experience in midfield. In that, I think it was 2014-15 season when he came back in, and he just kind of boosted us on to kind of the playoffs the following season as well.
Yeah, no, Dad, listen, one of my favourites as well, and obviously a champ man legend at that.
Absolutely.
As well. I don't know if he's got a shot of getting Edinburgh job full time. I know he's in caretaker charge at the moment and they're looking for a manager, but, you know, I mean, I'd love to see Mark at some point back at the club in some capacity, if that is a coach or what have you, because he like you say, cemented himself as a bit of a Falkirk legend, you know, starting at the club, coming back, you know, and just all around, just a really good guy and a great player to have on the team, you know.
Absolutely. He was a great guy. He didn't really score many goals, but when he did, he scored absolute belters. I think the one night he scored a belter against Arbroath that season at Brockville. I still remember it, going into the top corner.
Just always remember when Mark Kerr stood up to take a shout, just going, this is going miles over, just like, oh,
you know,
Jesus.
It was about one a season, but when that one happened, it was epic.
The thing is, if Mark Kerr had like that in his locker, if he had added goals to his game, he would be, you know, in this day and age, one of a multi-million pound player, because he was just that good and just, you know, very, just won the ball, box to box. God, loved Mark Kerr. Could talk about him all night. Anyway, we won't talk about Mark Kerr, all right? Let's talk about Hamilton versus Falkirk at the stadium yesterday. 0-0. Only change from last week. Obviously, Aidan Nesbitt was injured. I think he's set to be out for about 6 to 8 weeks from what I'm hearing. Sean Mackey made it back onto the bench, which was great to see. However, Gary Oliver taking Aidan Nesbitt's place in the side. First and foremost, Lewis, was Oliver the right choice to put in that role?
I think you only really had a couple of choices, John. You could either have played Aguiman central and played someone like Ola perhaps on the left, or you do what you did and you leave Aguiman where he was and put Gary Oliver in. So I think choices were fairly limited. If you were playing with the 10, then I think when he came off the bench previously, Gary did okay. So I could understand why the manager gave him the nod. But for me personally, I think he was bypassed. We ended up going a bit direct to Ross McKeever at times. Their two centre-halves, for me, were dominating in the air, heading it back into midfield. And Gary Oliver, for me, spent about an hour of that game yesterday just watching the ball going over his head both directions. Yeah. I didn't have a bad game, but he was just so quiet.
Yeah.
I don't know what you guys think, but see Gary Oliver on the style we play, I feel he slows the play down a bit too much. You think of the fast attacking play, Gary Oliver wants to stop and look and see what he's doing. But 100 mile an hour, just want to keep going for it. I don't know what your thoughts are on that, but I probably would have started Ethan Ross, and as you said, Lewis, maybe arguing through the centre.
Yeah, Miller apparently due back next Saturday, from what I hear, and maybe hopefully available for the next league game. You know, hopefully make the bench maybe next Saturday, get off. But yeah, I think that's a very good point, Callum. And you know, in a way, like McGlynn did as well for parts of last season, he slows it down ever so slightly. But the thing about Gary Oliver, he's always got a great ball and a great football in mind, you know.
Yeah.
It's obviously the pace isn't there. And I think, you know, with him getting his goal the week before against Montrose, that he probably did deserve it.
Deserved the start, aye.
Yeah, that's fine.
Don't know if it worked. We'll get to that in a minute. This was a huge game. And the big criticism we had of John McGlynn is he doesn't win the big games. And obviously, we didn't win yesterday either. However, it was just two sides that turned up at that stadium yesterday not wanting to lose, in my opinion. Or maybe not wanting to win. Chances were very few and far between, Lewis.
Yeah, I think for me, the one thing I would say is John Rankin, his scouting team, and coaches, they got their tactics 100% spot on. I got to know John a little bit when he was a player with Falkirk, and he's a really, really astute guy. He puts the hours in, he does his homework. And for me, yesterday, he just came up with a formula that stopped us playing.
Yeah.
I don't mean that disrespectfully to Hamilton. Of course, they were trying to win the game. I'm not saying otherwise, but... You know, it's like he figured our tactics out and he figured them out very, very well. And I thought that three in behind Ross McKeever, I think Cal was probably the liveliest. I think it was probably the weakest game that Big Freddy's had, Big Alfie Aguiman. I think he was really quiet. Gary was quiet. And, you know, I think we struggled in the final third.
Yeah, I think the Jackson Longridge and Dylan Tate really nullified the effectiveness that Callum Morrison and Aguiman had. I thought Aguiman started okay. I thought we started well. I thought we started like the home team. How different it could have been if Big Tam Lang had sneaked in at the back post with that header in the 7th minute. It could have made a huge difference. I think, you know, if we had taken the lead at that point, it would have been a very, very different game yesterday, Callum.
No, definitely. Going back to what Lewis was saying about Rankin, when he started it spot on, even before the game started, the tactics were spot on because you knew they wanted to win the toss. They won the toss and they wanted to shoot towards the south stand in the second half to nullify basically the south stand, basically the singing, get behind the team to force our attacking play like we have done. And you can see for the Hamilton players, they were kind of basically nigh on celebrating with themselves when they won the toss and we had to switch staffs before the game had started.
It was a very valid point. It was a big, you know, when you see that happening, you go, right, he knows what he's doing here. Like, you know, he's obviously a guy that's played at this club. Yeah. He knows exactly what he's doing. He's went and put captains. He said, listen, if we do win, Scott, you swap sides. Yeah. That's just an advantage to them because it is. We took control of that first half and we did all right. Mm. We did okay, just not enough chances. Big chance for Tam, like I said. Big chance for Hendo as well with the header as well. He's had so many of those.
No, I know. We were right behind it. We were sitting near the front, right behind the goals. And when Donaldson flicked it on and hit Tom Lang's head, you're like, that's in. How he's missed, I don't know. And then, as you mentioned, Big Hendo, how he's been so prolific the last couple of weeks when he scored at Kelty and a chance last week, I'm sure, against Montrose as well. So how he's missed that, his confidence must be sky high. But it's one of those ones.
Yeah, Hendo, I think, was kind of... With that booking, which I didn't think was a booking, that kind of put the brakes on him a wee bit.
Yeah.
And I think it dragged Gary over because back into midfield a bit too much to you know, because Hendel was on that booking, Lewis.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so. I mean, I was worried that when Hendel gets that early booking, he's a kind of guy who, you know, he's not going to lunge into every tackle on the pitch. That's not his style. But equally, Hendel is not a guy who will ever hold back from a tackle. And you know, if you're going in for everything, as you should be, if you're playing a combative midfield role, you should be competing for everything. The fans won't expect and accept anything less. But my worry was, you know, if you went in for a slight tackle, and there was one tackle in particular, John, maybe about 5 minutes after he got his booking, he went sliding in on the boy.
Yeah.
And he actually got there just a wee bit late. And he kind of got away with it and had that wee nervous look at the ref. Like, wait a minute, you know, is he going to produce another one here? And of course, it just holds you back that little bit when you're when you're on the yellow.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. And like I said, it hampered game, I think, just a wee bit. I mean, you can see why Hamilton have only conceded four goals. Like you were saying, Lewis, well-drilled, tactically nice. Scott Martin, again, a player, like we've got several of them, and does Hamilton have those players as well? A player that shouldn't be playing this league. Well, definitely a step above anything in this league. You watch him. I thought, I thought midfield was a bit MIA yesterday in terms of what was going on in the middle part, and I think he'd a lot to do with that.
Yeah, Scott Martin's a great player. As you say, he's probably shouldn't be playing at his level. He can easily play at a higher standard. And he kind of controlled the midfield for Hamilton yesterday. Talk about our midfield, I'd probably say that's the worst I've seen Brad Spencer play for us.
Yeah.
He had a very poor game yesterday.
Yeah, I did.
He's off the boil, certainly off the boil.
Yeah, I think Brad Spencer's been a wee bit off the boil the last couple of weeks, if I'm honest with you. I mean, obviously that brilliant goal against Queen South. I don't think he had a great game against Montrose. Particularly, it was okay. KLA again. You can't complain about from what I remember. I think he will, like you say, Callum. He was very much off the ball yesterday. In terms of,
do you think, devil's advocate, guys? Do you think though that's because Hamilton were dropping extra player back, going five across the middle, and when you've only got Spencer and Henderson against five? They just couldn't get near the ball, it was more difficult to get on the ball.
No, it definitely was. You even noticed that Morrison was very rarely in the game. He did have a few crosses, but when he did get the ball, you noticed Hamilton were trying to get two against him to kind of stop him from playing.
Yeah, there was
kind of denying him the opportunity.
They marshaled, they obviously knew where the danger came from. They marshaled him and Agyeman very, very well, unfortunately. And like you say, Lewis, John Rankin's clearly done his research on the team. And this has, again, been an accusation pointed at John McGlynn is, when he's coming against these young managers, and I've said it in this podcast before, they sometimes get the tactical jump on it. We saw it with McPake last season and a couple of the younger managers, who kind of did their homework, changed their style up and kind of managed against him. Whether John seems to be very much right, keep going with plan A. It's going to come with plan A. And sometimes there's an apprehension to maybe change things tactically. Is that something that, Lewis, am I onto something there, or is it just talking shite?
I just think it's because people figure out how you play.
Yeah.
And I think the second quarter will show that, because every team now has had a look at each other. Mm-hmm. So it'll be really interesting to see how things pan out. I think the best three teams, only personal opinion, Hamilton, obviously, yesterday. I think Montrose gave us Montrose gave us a cracking game. They're not going to win the league. They will have a say in who does.
Yes.
And I still stand by what I said way back on the first day of the league campaign. Believe it or not, Cove, despite their position in the league, I felt there's more to come from them because they're very hard to beat. And as and when they do click, they might improve a bit. The good news, fair point of view, we're already well ahead of them.
Yeah. By the way, Queen of the South, before we're talking about opposition, five losses in the spin for them now. Jesus.
They're five. I knew they'd lost since we beat them. They've lost every game since we beat them, to be fair.
Yeah. They've lost Rudy Payton, and it's had a big, big impact.
Yeah. And they've failed to kind of bring in a replacement who can replace those kind of goals as well. So,
Yeah, I mean, in terms of Hamilton's chances, I mean, there was a couple which were hit straight along. It had a couple of wee spills, but was able to recover from it. But aside from that, when you're looking at the match statistics, 9 shots to 7, 1 shot on target for Hamilton, 3 shots on target for Hamilton, 7 shots. We had 9 shots, 1 on target.
That one that's on target, John, is that the one with the defensive mix-up with them in the first half? And it was rolling towards the goal and it was just the rather off and pacing it to go in. Is that the one shot?
It probably was. The first half, very much a Falkirk half. Second half went to Hamilton. They could have went on to push on in their advantage. There was nothing really to write home about in that second half. I was looking at my notes, and the only thing I've got written down was the McKeever chance when it was sent through, he cut in, had a decent effort, went just over. And that's really all I've got to write home about in that second half. We fell away. And usually with Falkirk this season, that first 10 minutes of the second half, we come out guns blazing and look for that. But it just didn't happen, Lewis.
Yeah, I think when we play Hamilton again, I don't think we will do this, but one of the things I would like us to consider, and I've said it before, I think, you know, everybody knows John and Paul like to play a 4-2-3-1. We, as you said, it's their plan A and it's worked for them. If a wide player from that three behind the striker are out, it sometimes forces a change to the diamond, as we saw at the Airdrie game that we'll just definitely not mention at the end of last season.
Yeah,
but we did play that formation in a few other games when either Nesbitt or Morrison was out in the wide areas. But I think yesterday, the last 15-20 minutes, I was starting to get really worried. I thought Hamilton were in the ascendancy. We were on the ropes a bit, and I felt there was a case for going to a 3-5-2. Drop Liam Henderson back, let him play alongside Cole Donaldson and Tom Lang, free up Leon McCann to move into midfield. Finn, we know, has so much energy and is more than capable of playing in midfield, and give us the extra bodies in midfield to stop them getting that foothold in the game. Now, I know it's easy saying that sitting here, and John and Paul both know far more about football than, you know, we all do put together. But still, I would consider next time a different midfield against Hamilton. Because for me, yesterday, I think they enjoyed the bulk of the play in there.
Yeah,
I'd agree with you there, Lewis. I'd agree with you there.
Absolutely, I think so. The only thing I saw was that bit argy-bargy in the last kind of few minutes, which happened up the other end, and the lines were just stood and watched it. I don't know what was going on, but the lines were just stood and just watched.
It was old 1-3, wasn't it?
Aye, there was like the pinning each other down. It was just like, play on. I'm sure the linesman would have seen it was right in front of him. I don't know if you guys saw it as well when you were sitting in the main stand. I think it was Nicky Hogarth ran down the touchline and he was shouting instructions to Sam Long. I don't know what it was, but he kind of got to the corner flag and he ran back, so he was passing a message of some sort.
I can tell you exactly what that was. So we were right behind the dugout, and John turned and said to Nicky, he goes, go down and tell him to kick it long and get us up the pitch. He wasn't happy at how easily Hamilton were coming through the midfield, and he wanted Sam to go long with his distribution. I think there was a bit of frustration there because Nicky, he kind of went down, like halfway down the touchline, and he tried to shout, and I don't know if Sam heard him or not because of the crowd noise. And then Nicky got sent, if you notice, he got sent a second time, and he didn't quite go as far. The manager had been meaning, go right round to the byline, walk behind the goals and go and chat to him. And that's why Smith sent him the second time. But they were wanting Sam Long to kick it long.
Yeah. Now, you kind of noticed that the last 5-10, it kind of went all gun-ho and up the left-hand side, up to Big Hendo. You did notice that.
Yeah. I thought Ross McKeever was quiet again yesterday as well. Again, when you're talking about going 3-5-2, Lewis, I'm desperate to see Ross McKeever and Jordan Allen up.
Well, exactly.
And the other thing I was saying yesterday is what we're, I was speaking to my brother about this, is we've not got an option off the bench now, like Burrell, like we did have last season, a striker that will go in behind and try and break the lines. Because Jordan Allen, as we know, is pretty much a penalty box striker.
He's a poacher, yeah.
McKeever, you know, is that big guy that's going to hold up, look for crosses into the box to try and take advantage of it. We don't have a guy that'll go, you know, with a bit of pace, a bit of power that'll go in behind. We don't have that option anymore. You know, so it makes it very awkward when you come up, when you're looking at the bench and going, right, okay, we've got Jordan Allen there, but in a game like yesterday, is he really going to affect it when the ball isn't falling into the box as it should?
Yeah, he's kind of needing it, balls into the box, actually. As I say, he's a poacher. He's needing it to feet on a plate for him to finish. I don't know another option you could do. It depends. Agyeman runs his socks off week in, week out. Agyeman, could you play him up front if you were desperate? I don't know. It's another option there.
I think you could. I think you're right with that, Cal. I would love to see, because he did it in one game, and Agyeman moved from the left into number 10.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, you imagine you're a centre-half. The Lee Kildee yesterday dominated that ball in there. Ross McKeever, back to goal. We've seen Kildee playing for a few teams against us now. We know how dominant he is. That ball gets launched 40 yards down the pitch. He's watching it drop. He's winning it 9 times out of 10. So I think if McKeever's up there competing, you need Allen to feed off McKeever for the flick-ons. Or alternatively, can you imagine for a second, you're dealing with, you know, 6 foot plus Ross McKeever, you're maybe getting the better off him because you're attacking it, he's back to go. Yep. But then suddenly the ball falls, and then you're seeing 6 foot plus Man Mountain Alfredo Aguiman running at you.
Yeah.
You're not going to like that from a centre half's point of view.
No, definitely not. And it's maybe
something.
Yeah, there may be something we can do in the next week or month or so, in the couple of weeks, sorry, next month or so, when we've got players back. Obviously, you're missing Miller, as you mentioned, Nesbitt as well. That's more attacking players that you can maybe allow Aguiman to go further forward and link up with either Allen or McKeever if required.
I think you're right what you said, and I forgot earlier on about Ethan Ross, because he was incredibly quiet when he came on, but you're right. Yeah. I said, I think you could have played Lawal left and put Aguiman in, because I knew there was someone else that I wasn't remembering, and it was Ethan Ross.
Yeah.
And I think the fact that, with all due respect, the fact that I did forget about him kind of shows how quiet he was yesterday.
Yeah.
I was delighted when we signed Ethan Ross, because, you know, chatting to Seb previously and watching Ethan playing for Wraith, he was a great player.
Yeah.
And he's here because he needs game time, but at the moment, he's just not quite looked sharp enough for me.
Do you think it's because he's getting played when he comes on, Lewis? He's getting played out in that left-hand side. I mean, I remember Ethan Ross being played more centrally.
Well, he came on yesterday as the number 10.
Yeah.
We thought Aguiman, Big Freddy was going to move central and Ethan Ross would go left. That's what we thought was about to happen when those subs were happening. And actually, Big Freddy stayed on the left. And Ethan actually played slap bang in the centre, John. He was the number 10. Mm-hmm. But sadly,
Ethan did that well, Lewis, when the guys running about us, we were saying the same, that when it was an ideal sort of chance to put Aguiman through the centre, Ross out on the left, and get Aguiman running at the centre halves. But it didn't happen.
And sadly, Ethan just couldn't impact the game at all.
Yeah.
Well, it ended 0-0. Like I say, it very much turned out a game. In the end, it was like Hamilton defended really well, like you said, Lewis. Again, you know, looking for set pieces like we were as well. If we're honest with ourselves, that's where we're looking to get our goals from. In 0-0, let's have a listen to hear what Mr. McGlynn said after the game.
Obviously, two teams, both teams have been playing really, really well. Maybe it was always going to be a case of cancelling each other out. That's how it's panned out. You know, you never ever know before the game. But as it turned out, you know, not an awful lot of goal-mouth action. Neither goalkeeper seriously troubled. I thought we had a better first half. I thought we were the better team first half. I thought we were more dominant. We were certainly going towards the Hamilton goal more. And maybe we should have scored for the set play, which can win games like this, you know. I've not seen it back. It seemed like Cole got a flick on at the front area, and then Tom's came out the back post, just couldn't get, you know, inside that post to get it in the goal. And that might have been what would have won the game. You know, there was bits and pieces in the first half that we had, didn't quite take them. Half chances, no really sitters or anything like that. Half chances, a lot of effort put in, a lot of commitment put in by both teams. Let's see, I thought it was a better first half. Second half, being honest, I don't think we look like scoring, but I don't think we look like losing a goal either. Didn't quite click, didn't quite flow, but you can then say you're playing against better opposition in the league than we've done all season. They're not going to make it easier for you. The game will be a little bit sometimes frantic. Maybe we turned the ball over too much. A little bit of decision making, a little bit of, you know, maybe just the wrong player getting the ball in the wrong area of the pitch, and it no quite flowing, no quite getting up to top gear. However, you know, we stay unbeaten in 9 games in the league. 23 points out of 27 is a good return. Unbeaten in 10 games in all competition. You know, so there's a lot to clean sheet. You know, there's a lot of positives to take from it. So, yeah, we move on. No damage done. You've seen in midweek how, you know, Celtic end up losing a goal late, and, you know, they're all saying, if you can't win it, don't lose it, you know. So, you know, Celtic did lose a late goal, and the better way a point is none. And as it went into the last stages of the game, you know, Hamilton got a corner kick, last minute of the game, official time. And, you know, you've seen that in these situations, it ends up in the back of your net. But we defended that, you know, we kept our nerve, we were mentally strong. defenders dealt with everything, really. Middle to front, we've been better. So I'm sure we'll be better. But we've got a nice, kind of like, 2 weeks before our next league game. Got a nice game next week against Queen's Park. So we sit at the top of the table, you know, for a bit longer again.
There you go. I think he summed up really well, to be honest with you.
Yeah. You hit the nail on the head there. I think he's right with what he says there at the end when he mentions Celtic. He says they lost all the late goal. If you can't win it, don't lose it. I think he's spot on. I think goals win your games, but clean sheets win your championships.
Absolutely. I think just the big disappointment, you know, is it was we were at home, you know, and I think that hangover from last season, you know, when we struggled against Dunfermline, we didn't even get a win over them, who are our biggest contenders for the championship last season. I think that's still in the back of the mind of a lot of Falkirk supporters. And so I think this was going to be the point where we're going to clear that and get that monkey off our backs and get that 3 points against, you know, what is turning into a two-horse race now, and you know, winning that home game against them. Because when we go to New Douglas Park, it's going to be nip and tuck yet again, that you feel what it's just going to be this season. And like Lewis was saying at the start, there's going to be, Montrose is going to have a say in this, you know, Cove might have a say in this, you know, Stirling Albion, who knows? I mean, Stirling Albion, I think Hamilton dropped their points to Stirling Albion. We've got to go there in a couple of weeks. It is just going to be, and then you're just going to wait for those Hamilton Falkirk games. And I think that disappointment is, because we were the home team, did the conditions play into it? I don't know. But
certainly weren't ideal for football, let's be honest. No. And you know what, on the positive side, is that a game last year we would have lost?
A lot of people said that, Lewis, and you know,
no, devil's advocate.
Yeah,
look at it. The Dunfermline first home game against Dunfermline, it was a similar circumstances. They got a burn on scored from it, and we just couldn't break them down. Likewise, they couldn't break down after it as well. So, probably similar circumstances to that last season.
Yeah. Right. Let's look at what the punters are saying. Everyone's been in touch, getting your views on the game. Elsa said, thought Hamilton had our number, totally nullified Morrison and Alfie, just like you were saying, Lewis. They broke the game up and their shape was really solid. Midfield wasn't good enough tonight. Passing was poor and ran out of ideas and steam. The key thing is, we didn't lose, but we must learn from this. Elsa always astute with our points. Brilliant. Dickie, we have the best team in the league, but not the best management team. They were far too slow to make changes and clearly happy with a point at home. Interesting point. Did they make changes quick enough for you, Lewis?
I think we would have struggled yesterday because of the options on the bench.
Mm. Only six players named on the bench, actually, yesterday.
There was two or three less because we've loaned McGinley and Honeyman out and so on, and Owen Hayward as well. Not that you'd be looking for a young keeper to come on, but I think the only other thing I would have contemplated doing yesterday, given we were outnumbered in midfield, I would like to have seen Bisland come on at right back
and put Finn
and move Finn into the centre of the pitch.
Yep, I said that as
especially
well.
When Hendo was on a yellow card.
Going
into the last 20 minutes of the game or so. And I understand there'll be people saying, oh, but if you do that,
you lose the physical presence.
You lose the big man's physicality, you know.
Yeah.
I get it, but
last
20-odd minutes, as a manager says, if you can't win it, don't lose it. There was always that risk of that second yellow.
Yeah.
No, definitely. And as you said, Lewis, you had that chance, the challenge just before half-time, and I thought he was lucky to stay on.
Yeah. Grant says, started well, but felt especially after the break, we were a wee bit off it and didn't trouble Ackies as much as we should have. Conditions didn't help, but both teams just cancelled each other out. And although disappointing not to win the end, a draw is probably a fair result. Westy says, honestly, bitterly disappointed with our performance. Hamilton are decent defensively and held a good shape. However, with how slow we move the ball, we made it easy for them. Only real positives to take are that we kept the clean sheet and we're still top of the league. Onward and upwards. Yeah, I mean, we talked about it as well. Just how good. I mean, you can see why Hamilton have only lost 4 goals this season. You can see we've only lost 6 in saying that, and 2 of those were against Montrose. But you can see how well set up Hamilton are.
I thought their fullbacks were terrific yesterday.
Yeah.
Tumblepay, we remember from his time with us, he's got better over the years as well. Stepping down from the Championship, you could tell he was used to playing a level above their whole team.
Yeah.
They pressed us much quicker than we pressed them all over the pitch.
They went out like a recruitment. They've done very well on the recruitment, I think, as well.
Yeah, Jackson Longridge on the other side, you know, they've persuaded him to drop from the Premier League down to League One. How they've done that, I don't know, unless he's really having his palm crossed with silver.
Yeah. Even if you look at Hamilton's bench, they had a wealth of experience on that bench as well, and a good few names that you know. So I know they've definitely got a good squad about them.
Yeah. We Div says the positives I take from that is that Hamilton aren't as good as a couple of the teams in the league last year. I don't think they're certainly not as good as Dunfermline. They're nowhere near what Dunfermline were in this league, which is actually a very good point. Lion Yeats were good. Thought Spencer was poor by his normal styles, and Morrison went missing in a key game. Again, Gary Oliver was back to being Gary Oliver.
I think it's a little bit harsh on Cal to say he went missing. I mean, the boy was getting double marked most of the game. Yeah. And I think most fans, respectfully there, would have noticed that. So I think that's a wee bit harsh on Cal. I agree with the point though about they're not Dunfermline. I do agree with that, and I would look at it another way. We still have Nesbitt and Miller to come back to improve us. So you know what? They'll be happier with the point than we are this weekend, because ideally you try and, you know, win your home games and then nick a point on the road. For their point of view, they've done that, but they can't sit back at New Douglas Park. They now need to come out a wee bit more in the game, in the return fixture. I think that might suit us, actually.
Did anyone else have the fear about that when that boy came off the bench? Umbongo, is it Umbongo? I think his name was
Umbongo.
He looked, what a unit he was, by the way. I was like, Jesus Christ. I was like, is it a 50-50 between him and argument? I'm here for that. I'm getting the popcorn out for that. I was waiting for it to happen. I was just like, oh, come on.
The boy looked like he just ate, for anyone who wasn't at the game, we should point out, the boy looked like he had just ate the Hulk. That was pretty much what he was looking like.
I know. Scott says the team didn't perform to their ability. Shades of last season against the Fifers. A bit disappointing in the lack of Hamilton support. The small travelling numbers for a top table clash did nothing to enhance the atmosphere at the biggest league game of the season so far. I mean, it was on the telly. We saw the weather. That probably played into it a wee bit.
Fair play though. What was it? Still something like 4,600 odd fans come out. The fans don't let this team down.
No, absolutely. No, I think if the weather hadn't been like it is, I think we'd have got over the 5,000, just short of it. Gregor says, disappointed in our failure to create more chances, second half especially, team looked knackered towards the end, but encouraging that Aki's have looked the most toothless team to visit us this season. It's a fair point. I would say Montrose looked more dangerous, Queen of the South looked more dangerous. Yep. Going forward, so that's a very valid point. And going forward, you know, defensively, know how sound they are, and we've talked about that, but perhaps, you know, going forward, that it's a good thing. Ryan says we're better than them in the first half, should have taken the lead going into half time. Second half, we're slack in possession, Hamilton improved, but didn't really cause us any issues. Still top of the league and unbeaten. Get the boon in the bin as well from a small section. Aye, come on, guys. Boon at the end. There was no need for, we're top of the league, we've not lost the game, and people are booing.
Header hits the back of the net and you're three clear. That's fine margins, right?
It is fine
margins. We were in no real danger at all yesterday. For as much as we're disappointed about not winning, I think that's a great point that, you know, that message coming in makes. We weren't in any danger either.
I can't really remember Sam Long really having a save to me. I had a few scrambles, but nothing really troubled him.
Yeah. Stephen says, Tom Lang absolutely dominated, conditions played into Hamilton hands, powder puff up front for the first time this season, completely nullified our threats. Morrison needs to come out of Jackson's pocket. Aye. Disappointing but still unbeaten. And Del finishes up with another one to post under, we'd have lost this game had it been last season, as you said, Lewis. Not the best day at the office with our normal match winners not at the races. He has rated Finn Yeats as a Falkirk Daft rated player, and Dell has said the Dafty is Morrison. Wrong choices all day. Gentlemen, who would you rate as the Falkirk Daft rated player of the day?
You go first, Cal.
Hey, I'm going to say Finn Yeats. I think he was outstanding yesterday. See, for a guy who's not a right back, he's kind of filling a position, although saying that he had played there a few times last season, he's done outstanding so far this season. He'd done really well against the boy Bar Jonas. And if you notice, majority of teams play down our right-hand side, and rightly so. But he targeted really
him. I mean, Montrose, you saw that. Montrose targeted Finn all game. Hamilton very much did the same. And Finn's dealing with every challenge he's been thrown, he's dealt with, I feel. But, great shout, Calum. Lewis?
Cole.
Oh, Cole.
Or not, I thought there was two men who stood out for us. I thought Finn Yates and Cole Donaldson. Big Cole won basically every header, every block, every tackle. He did nothing spectacular, but you know what? I like that from a defender. I go back to my days of Neil Oliver, a guy who you get to the end of the game, you barely said a thing about him because he just did his job.
Yeah.
And for me, both Cole Donaldson and Finn Yates were tremendous yesterday.
Yeah, captaincy's made a big difference to Cole, having that armband on. And I think, obviously, we've talked about Christoph Berra being in amongst the coaching staff. I think that you can see that's probably had an effect on Cole as well.
Maybe.
I am going to opt, however, it's a split decision this week. I'm going to go for big, sexy Tam Lang. Yeah, again, unbelievable.
There's a surprise.
He was unbelievable again, yes. He just, that guy. Honest to God, what a guy.
Good partnership between Cole and Tom. They're starting to get a real strong partnership as well, which is good to see.
Yeah. Right, so who are we going to... I think though, if you've said Finn Yates is runner-up, I thought Finn was great yesterday.
Yeah, Finn was one of my two as well.
Let's give it to Finn. If it's a split decision, let's give it to Finn then, because he deserves it, because like you say, people have been targeting it. He's dealt with everything. So well done, Finn. Falkirk Daft rated player of the week. Callum, thank you for coming on, my hero. I'm holding out for you. If ever in drunk again at a game and I need saved, you're my man. But thanks so much for coming on and being our guest pundit this week, Callum. Really enjoyed that chat. If you want to be just like Callum, drop us a DM on Twitter or Facebook or pop us an email, pundit@falkirkdaft.co.uk. Callum, thank you so much. Really appreciate that, pal.
Yeah, what is Dono? Thanks very much. It was good and enjoying. Just had to pick a game and there's nothing really to talk about.
That's it. Fantastic. Brilliant, mate. Oh, I might see you still in Albion away, but I'll be in a more sober state. Promise.
You'll have the no worries.
All right, cheers, Callum.
Take care. See you after.
This is Falkirk Daft
with Haldane Construction Services.
Lewis, do you need to jump off for your pub quiz?
Nah, it's already started, mate. Just to carry on.
All right, no worries. Well, there's a guy from the Spider Talk podcast that's coming on. Talk about the game.
Hello.
Hiya, how you doing?
I'm not bad. Can you see me all right, yeah?
Can do it. Is it Enzo?
It is Enzo, yeah. How you doing?
Not bad, mate. Not bad. Can you show us your bonds you got? Can you put on video or are you not?
I can't. I'm at a desktop computer that doesn't have a
webcam,
unfortunately.
No worries.
You know, to be fair, we're looking. I've got Lewis with me today here, Enzo. So, you know, we're needing some. Probably with a name like Enzo, you've probably got a bit of Italian about you.
I definitely do, aye.
Yeah. Brilliant.
Dark facial hair, aye.
Is it Tammy? How do you do your song?
Tammanini.
Brilliant, fantastic. We'll just generally chat about the cup game next week, if that's okay.
Yeah, of course, absolutely.
I'm just really interested. Actually, I'm really interested in the Queen's Park story as well at the moment. So we'll talk about talk about the game and the wider stuff going on.
No worries, aye.
Right, brilliant. Every week in Falkirk Daft, I like to look ahead to our next game, and I'm quite happy though we're putting the league away for 1 week because it always feels like a free hit. The Challenge Cup or whatever it's called, the Trophy Trust or the Trust Trophy, whatever it's called these days, it just feels like a free hit, and it's quite a relief, I think. And this weekend we have got Queen's Park arriving at the stadium, and on from the Spider Talk podcast to tell us a wee bit more about how Queens are doing, it's Enzo Tammanini. He's just Tammanini.
It's fine. Listen, nobody gets it right first time, but thanks a lot for having me on tonight.
I really appreciate it. Queens, talk through your season so far, Enzo.
Well, it started really... Well, right, okay. So we obviously had the League Cup group stages, which weren't great, but we kind of accepted that was probably going to be the case because we had quite a lot of new players in and we've got a really, really young squad this season. So a couple of poor results there, if I'm being completely honest with you. But then the league kicked off quite well. We won our first game of the season, we went up to Inverness, we won that. Second game, we had our Arbroath. And then the third game, bizarrely, we had our Arbroath again because they moved a fixture that was meant to be played midweek at some point in October, I think, to that free weekend.
I saw that. I was like... I thought they'd messed up the fixtures when I read that, and I was just like, are they playing Arbroath again?
And we were, yeah. So I think it was meant to be, in a couple of weeks' time on a Tuesday night or something like that. I think, do you know what? It was meant to be on Halloween, and I was actually quite looking forward to going up to Arbroath on Halloween. But they moved it because both teams had been papped out of the League Cup, so it was a free weekend. And I suppose, given how our fortunes have kind of turned since then, and Arbroath have obviously started playing a wee bit better, it's probably worked out for the best.
Yeah.
And since that third victory in the league, we had lost every single game up until yesterday. So we lost to Thistle, we lost to Raith, which was a tough one to take because we were losing 1-0 that day. We then came back, despite being a man down, we were 2-1 up. The manager made some bizarre substitutions. We ended up losing 3-2 in injury time. That was a bit of a slow one to take. Then we lost to Dunfermline at Hampden. We lost to Ayr. And last week went up to Tannadice where we scored in the first minute, but then ended up losing 4-1 anyway. And yesterday we drew nothing each with Morton in one of the most nothing games I've ever seen in my entire life. It was absolutely turgid.
In Hampden, like in the big stadium at Hampden.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh. Yeah. And it was a fairly, I mean, obviously you're not going to get a big crowd for a Queen's Park game at Hampden, but even by, you know, what the standards have been like this season, it was pretty poor given the horrific weather. A lot of people couldn't get out of Greenock to come to the game. I think Greenock was pretty much shut down because of the trains had all been cancelled. The roads were a bit of a mess. And I think it probably had a bit of an impact on some Queens fans as well. So it wasn't pleasant. Put it that way.
And let's be honest, you would try your damnedest to get out of Greenock if you could.
Well, that's it. They obviously never tried hard enough. That's how I see it. I saw a wee news article about a couple of guys with a rowing boat down in Greenock High Street yesterday.
I saw that.
Because
aye.
It was flooded, so
was it anything this Catman maybe just like kind of
potentially? I've not heard that name in a long time.
He was flooded out.
Brilliant. Enzo. Obviously, last season, you know, you're going for the championship last season. You know, you lost out, obviously, in the playoffs. I mean, it was almost a wee bit like, I don't know what to say, but it was almost like a relief because obviously it came a bit too soon in the Queen's Park project. And I think I've heard you guys talk about, I think, on our podcast about it did come very quickly and you didn't expect it. Are you kind of where you're at in now? You know, you've kind of leveled out a wee bit this season.
Well, think? I think, the reason why we challenged at the top of the division last season was because nobody else was really good enough to run away with it. It was as straightforward as that. And I include Dundee in that because ultimately it came down to the last game of the season. Ayr obviously started the season really well. Thistle were pretty inconsistent. And I think if somebody had managed to, I mean, at one point we were 7 points clear. And at that point I thought, right, okay, we just need to be consistently okay. We didn't have to be spectacular at that point because nobody else was. However, you know, as it transpired, we lost Simon Murray on deadline day. He was our top scorer and he was a top scorer in the division at the time. He'd scored 4 goals, I think, a couple of weeks prior to that. And we just went totally downhill from there. And to be honest with you, this has been, despite the 3 wins at the start, this has been a relatively poor start to the season. But it's not just the start to this season. It stretches all the way back to probably about February or something like that. So it's been a difficult kind of 7-8 months, I think.
I mean, there's a big difference between Coyle's team and Veldman's team then.
Yeah, I'm not sure I would necessarily describe it as Veldman's team because I'm not sure how much of a say he had in the players that we actually brought in this season because obviously we have a director of football and he takes to do with all of the signings. So we lost, I don't know if lost is the right word, some of our more experienced guys from last season were showing the door. So guys like Lee Coday, who's obviously doing really well at Aki's, you'll have seen him play yesterday, I would imagine, actually. And we've replaced these guys with young players, really, really young players. And I think they're talented young players. I think they're guys who will be good players. But so some of our fans seem to think that the lack of experience is a major issue this year. I don't totally buy into that. I think young players can absolutely achieve success in the right system and stuff. The problem is the style of football that we're playing is really frustrating to watch right now because they're essentially trying to walk it and they're very, very shy about taking a shot. We've got a brilliant guy up front. Rory Payton is a fantastic striker and I was delighted when we got him in the summer. But the issue is he's just not really getting a whole lot of service and that's causing a bit of issues. And even on more experienced guys, you know, it's right, okay, you can pick out that we have a 20-year-old. Yesterday, we had a, I believe, 20-year-old and an 18-year-old at centre-half, and that is a very, very young centre-half pairing in the Championship.
Your keeper's like 16 or 17.
Well, yeah, so that's Callum McKenna you're talking about. Now, Callum McKenna, he is 16, yeah, and he's played the majority of games this season. He was dropped last week, and it's not necessarily because he did anything wrong, I don't think. He was replaced by Callum Ferry. Now, Callum Ferry was the Championship goalkeeper of the season last season, so he probably felt a little bit hard done by being dropped for a 16-year-old, but the thing is, we've seen both of them play, and the goalkeeper isn't... It doesn't matter that they're pretty interchangeable. They're both really solid keepers at this level, so that's not the issue. But yeah, 16-year-old goalkeeper in the Championship is outrageous, to be honest. Even in League 2, that would be wild. You don't really see that, especially for a position like goalkeeper.
We actually had Callum on loan a few years ago.
Right, okay, yeah. Was that when he would have been at Dundee, possibly?
He was at Dundee at the time.
Aye, right. And McKenna... Ferry's a really solid goalkeeper as well. We're quite fortunate that we have two really good options in that position. It's just, as I say, it's not the problem. So we have this really kind of, the focus of our game right now is to pass it out from the back and build up from there. And it works. When it works, it's brilliant to watch. But when it doesn't work, it's really, really frustrating. And for about 6 weeks now, it has been incredibly frustrating.
You beat Ballytown 3-0 in the last round.
We did,
Did you make the trip?
I didn't actually, because I was on holiday, unfortunately. So I didn't make the trip. Last year we had Cliftonville away at the same stage in the competition. I went across to Belfast for that, so that was good. So I was a wee bit disappointed to miss out on the Ballytown trip, but I caught the highlights. And listen, from what I heard, I didn't watch the game either. I didn't watch the full game back on the iPlayer. I know it was on there, but I wasn't that interested. I saw the goals. You know, the guys I know who were there, they liken Bala to a kind of poor League 2 side or something like that. So I don't think, I mean, given the results since then, you can't really take too much from that, unfortunately.
What's your thoughts, just generally for the two of you, what's your actual thoughts on the Welsh and Irish teams being involved in the competition?
We've been very fortunate that we've had some excellent away trips from it. We had TNS away a few years ago as well. And I enjoy that aspect of it. I'm going to be honest with you. I find it difficult to get too worked up about this tournament in general.
Maybe
if we got to a final or something, that'd be maybe even a semi-final, I'd change my tune a wee bit. But at this early stage, the only problem is, under other circumstances, I wouldn't be too fussed about this game next week at Falkirk, being completely honest with you. But given that we are playing so poorly right now, I don't want the manager. I want the manager to put the strongest team out. I want him to take it as an opportunity to make some changes, not necessarily in terms of personnel, but in terms of the way we approach the game.
Build some confidence from it.
We need to go for it. I think this is the worst possible time for us to be playing a fixture like this, to be honest with you, because obviously you guys are, I know you didn't win yesterday, but you're playing well. My expectation is that Falkirk will beat us. I think Falkirk will win. I'm fairly confident that Falkirk will win. If they don't, then there's perhaps more of a gap between the two divisions than what I think, because as it stands, I'd be surprised if we go out and get a result on Saturday.
Wow. Lewis, in terms of Falkirk team, do you think he'll make wholesale changes? Maybe play Nicky in the sticks?
I think Nicky will come back in just to give Nicky game time.
Sean Mackey maybe get a game at left back, maybe?
I just don't know if it'll be a little bit too early for Sean. He's back from injury, he's on the bench now.
Allen.
I don't anticipate many changes. Yeah. I think if anything, he might change like two or three. So I think Nicky will play to give him minutes in goals. But in terms of the outfield players, I can only see one, maybe two changing, John. I think it'll be more or less the same again.
Yeah, I'll be interested to see what we do. Enzo, it's not a tournament that excites us until you get to the final and you get potential silverware, because obviously Falkirk are, you know, we're going for five in this tournament, so they're fingers crossed for that. But I'm interested to find out about the Hampden situation, Enzo, while I've got you on, actually.
How much time have you got? Because I could talk about this for hours.
we saw the stadium. We saw pictures of the stadium. Yep. You know, it's just... I mean, as a Queen's Park supporter, I'm sure you're expecting a lot more than what you've got. And then, am I on the understanding that the SFA are using that now instead of the Omnium, and then you guys have been putting Hampden as a result of that? I'm not confused by it all.
Well, my understanding of it is that the SFA, obviously with the Scotland team training at Lesser Hampden is a bit of a kind of, it's part of the deal, essentially, for us to be back in playing at Hampden. Listen, it's a really, really long story. Obviously, it goes all the way back to when the club voted to drop the whole amateur status and go what was supposed to be part-time at the time, obviously, pretty quickly became full-time. And when they bought the stadium, our expectation was that they would be building us, not that they would be building us, but that the club would be building a fit-for-purpose ground that would probably be decent for a team that had ambitions of playing at probably the upper end of League One with the occasional foray into the Championship. There was nobody at that time was talking about Championship, Premiership sort of football, and that's what the club is talking about now. So the initial plans were for, I believe it was a ground that was supposed to hold about 1,800 or something like that, but that changed when Leanne Dempster came into the club because I believe she didn't like the plans. They talked about bigger and better, and now we've been landed with a little ground that holds something like 900 odd. Now, don't get me wrong, Lesser Hampden, that wee stand is lovely, but it is a wee stand. Do you know what I mean? I'm sure it'll be fine for reserve games, women's games, things like that. The pitch is incredible. Every player that I've spoken to has been raving about the pitch. They said it's better than the pitch at Hampden. I believe it's the same company that put the pitch in at Man City and Borussia Dortmund that installed the pitch at Lesser Hampden. It is phenomenal when you see it up close. It's like nothing I've ever seen in any Scottish ground before. I mean, maybe Celtic Park or whatever. And then obviously it just kind of came to a halt. They never ever built beyond that little stand, which took forever to put together in the first place. And then we've been everywhere. We've played everywhere. We briefly played at Falkirk, in fact, when we won the League Two title. I think we won the title at Falkirk, actually. We lost the final game of the season against Elgin there, but we didn't get to go to those games because that was the COVID season. So then the following year we were at Firhill. Don't know if any of you guys were at the 6-0 game there. I quite enjoyed that one. That was probably one of them. That was do you know what? We had no right to get promoted that season. We weren't a good team. We drew nearly, I don't know how many games it was, I can't remember now, but it was absurd. And the number of points that we threw away from winning positions was absolutely wild. But what happened was Coyle managed to get the team together at the right time. Simon Murray started hitting form at the right time, and we did really well in the playoffs, and it just kind of rocketed on from there, where we ended up challenging for the division the following year. So anyway, gets to this. So last season, obviously, we ground shared at Stenhouse Muir, which is a joke. I'm not going to talk too much about that because that's wild. There's no excuse for a club from Glasgow having a ground share in Larbert. Don't get me wrong, Oakleview's fine. There's nothing wrong with it.
I play sevens down there on a Monday night.
It's a nice wee ground. It's a nice wee ground, but it was nonsense having to travel through there. So yeah, this year the club's got us back into Hampden. I don't know what the deal necessarily involves, don't know how much it's costing, don't know who's paying for it, but here we are. And I'll be honest with you, playing at Hampden, it's not a great experience. It's not a great fan experience. It doesn't help that we've not won a game yet, to be fair. But for me personally, you know, living in the south side of Glasgow, the fact that I don't need to travel up to Firhill or even worse to Larbert, I'm just kind of glad to be home. Even, you know, I'm not too fussed which of the grounds it is. I'd love to see them continue to develop Lesser Hampden into something that is genuinely fit for purpose. I'd love to see them maybe expand it to 3,000 or 4,000 seats or something like that. But at this stage, I'm not entirely sure if there's any plans for that. I think the club's just banking on us being able to play at Hampden in the long run. And that's all well and good if there's a long-term agreement in place to do it. But if it gets to the stage where every summer we're going, right, where are we playing next year? Because there's nothing actually, you know, definitive, then that as a fan is problematic. But there's, you know, there have been a few. As fun as it has been as a Queens fan over the past few years, there are plenty of off the field issues, unfortunately.
Yeah,
nice if it did get redeveloped. As you say, it's a new ground for a lot of fans who've never been to Lesser Hampden.
Yeah.
They need to do something to balance that, the nice wee stand, as you call it, and what I can only in the nicest possible way describe as like the Politburo stand on the far side, you know, with that big ledge.
Don't get me started.
The director sitting there overviewing, you know. It's like, it does look bizarre, doesn't it?
Right. Before we get into prediction, I need to find out one important question. When you were through in Lap playing in Stenhouse Muir, what pub did you drink in? Was it the Plough or the Station?
We actually went to, I believe it was the Plough a couple of times, but we mostly just went to the wee Warriors Club next to the ground. That was convenient.
Did you have the Venom when you
we
were
did,
in
actually,
there?
Aye. We had a couple of times. They had it on special offer one night, I'm sure, so we had a couple of
them. Right, okay. Obviously, a couple of ex-Bairns might play as well, Lewis. Tommy Robson, who...
Robson will play for sure.
Yeah, two players that I think... A lot of Falkirk supporters are fond of Louis Longridge and Tommy Robson coming back.
Nice.
Louis Longridge just played his 100th game as well for Queens.
Longridge is an interesting one, actually, because obviously he's made a career out of being a midfielder, but this season he's actually dropped back and turned into a right back, and he's been fantastic there. I know that sounds absolutely wild.
That's mental.
So he's primarily played either right back or as a kind of sitting midfielder. And honestly, I don't know if it's just because
this boy's having us on. There's no way, Louis. We talked about the same Louis Longridge here.
Yeah, I promise you. And the mad thing is, this is actually the best he's ever been for us.
Wow.
So, okay.
I am really looking forward to Louis Longridge playing a holding midfield role against us.
I think you're more likely to see him right back, genuinely. Oh, right. It's been interesting. Didn't expect it.
Is Grant Savory starting regularly?
Unfortunately, Grant Savory did his ACL in the playoffs last season. So the first leg up at Fir Hill, the game that we lost 4-3, I think it was, he did his ACL. And it's a bit of a frustrating one, actually, because the referee missed a foul a couple of seconds before that. And then it was a pretty innocuous challenge. There was no malice or anything like that. But he's out and realistically probably won't be back until about February, March time or something, which is a shame because he's a supremely talented player. And that's why we've just brought in Stuart McKinstry, who was at Motherwell last season.
Motherwell?
Yeah, so he came through at Motherwell, signed for Leeds, and they sent him back to Motherwell last season. I think he played something like 24 games for Motherwell last year and scored about 4 goals, but he wasn't in the squad yesterday against Morton because I believe he's just not match fit at all. So I don't know how long it's going to take him to get to that level. I don't know if he might. Maybe he'll be on the bench this coming week.
Good player. And you've obviously got Dom Thomas as well,
Thomas is brilliant when he's on it. I think Dom Thomas, when he's at his best, is genuinely one of the best players in the Championship.
I wholeheartedly agree with that. He's very, very good.
But he can be a wee bit hot and cold sometimes. So.
Yeah, but that's why he's at the level he's at.
That's it, exactly, yeah.
Like players that we have as well. Right, okay. Any fears from a Falkirk perspective? I don't know if you've looked at the team or followed much of the team this season, Enzo.
It's the fact that you're a side coming into this with a bit of confidence. You know, you're challenging to win a league title, a league title that you've been chasing for a few years now. And it looks to me, anyway, from an outside perspective, is that this is probably going to be your best chance in a while to finally make a return to the Championship. Aki's looked like a good team, though, so that's
the problem.
Potentially they're scuppering it for you, but you know, there's always the playoffs. I think it's just the fact that you are a team that's coming into this on form. I know, as I say, you didn't win yesterday, but you're playing with confidence on form, and we're not. We're kind of the polar opposite of that right now. It'll depend on your kind of game. I mean, I'm assuming Falkirk are a team that like to kind of play football and they don't kind of sit particularly deep or anything like that against opposition.
No, that actually
probably suits us. It's when teams sit really deep and we really struggle to break them down.
Pass that on to John McGlynn. Yeah, pass that on to John McGlynn now. We'll see. Score prediction from you, Enzo.
Well, I know. I said so. I actually think Falkirk are going to win, right? I think Falkirk will win, but I can't possibly predict us to lose. So I'm going to go 2-1 Queens.
Absolutely, Lewis.
Do you know what? I think it's going to be tight. I think 2-1's a good shout. I'm not sure what way. If it goes to form, you would expect Queens, being the Championship team, to edge it. But you know what? First goal, I think we can cause an upset. I really do. I think it's one of those games.
I totally agree with you.
I genuinely think whoever gets the first goal.
Yeah.
Really do. First goal will win it for me.
Anyway, the campaign going for 5 continues. So fingers crossed. Listen, thanks so much for joining us, Enzo. Really, really appreciate it. Great chatting to you. All the best for the rest of the season.
Yeah. Cheers for having me on. I hope everything goes well this season for you guys. Maybe she's next year in the Championship. If we don't get relegated, we'll see.
Might see you on the way back. Or playoffs, who knows?
Potentially, aye.
All right, Enzo, thanks for your time.
See you later.
All the best. Cheers,
bye-bye.
Enzo.
Bye.
This is Falkirk Daft
with Haldane Construction Services.
And that is it for Folk at Daft for this week. Thank you so much for listening. Lewis, thanks so much for joining me. It's always a pleasure to see you.
Pleasure to be here, John. Pleasure to be here.
Absolutely. Listen, if you do want to hit a subscribe on YouTube, that would be great. Drop us a review on Apple, Spotify, if you listen to it. Unbelievably, like last week, we had over 2,500 people listening to this podcast, which is just mental, which is absolutely mental. So we really appreciate everyone that listens to us, and really appreciate everyone stopping me and saying, oh, listen, and I got told off again for swearing yesterday. I didn't swear much in last week's episode. It was Ross that was doing all the swearing last week in regards to Ryan Williamson, so it was nothing to do with me, honestly. Listen, we've got merch up for grabs as well, if you fancy it, if you want to get some Folk at Daft stuff. Look like, stand out from the crowd at the football, do you know what I mean? Don't go for the goalkeeper's top like some people do, or you know, the strip or some of that sort of stuff. You can get like Folk at Daft merch, you could get a Highlander badge thing that we've got, or you can just get a plain Folk at Daft hoodie, look really cool, be down with the cool kids. Do that, please do. merch.folkatdaft.co.
Mate, it's like Michael Doyle said, in a world of seagulls and pigeons, we are flamingo, right?
Absolutely. If you want to be a guest pundit or come on, drop us a message as well. john@folkertdaft.co.uk or ross@folkertdaft.uk. And thanks once again to Haldane Construction. Get on the socials, check out their work. They're brilliant, and quality and loyalty is at the heart of their business. Onwards to the Trust Trophy. I'm not making it. I'm only holding my hands. I'm not making it on Saturday because I've got family do it. And it was like, I could try and... It's not worth the hassle, do you know that way? Of getting it in the neck from your mum and from your wife for the Trust Trophy. And now I really appreciate it. If we do win, I'll be absolutely delighted going for five. It's really... The Trust Trophy is still not getting nagged by my mum and my wife. You know, like halfway through the family, I'm just popping up to Falkirk to watch the game.
Pick your battles, mate.
And the Trust Trophy is not a battle. The Trust Trophy, round four or whatever one, I'm not taking a battle over that.
Hey, that's not the hill to die on, no.
No, not dying on that hill. If it was the final or the semi-final, maybe, but not this round, absolutely not. So fingers crossed the Bears get a result against Queen's Park. And like I say, it's quite nice to be away from league action for a week, and just, you know, it's like a free hit for us, isn't it? So enjoy the game if you're going. Are you going to have to do Ross's catchphrase and your own, Lewis, to finish the show?
Well, folks, expect the unexpected, and thanks for your time.